Hi, I'm Yoshi. Thank you very much for having me at your conference. I'm from Scotland and now I work in a place called Northampton in England. My research, I'm very interested in non-linear relationships. I'm influenced by the work of Deleuze and rhizomatic assemblages. I'm also influenced by something called metamodernism, which I'm going to expand on a little bit later. It's kind of drawing beyond postmodernism, takes its term from Plato's metaxy, moving, oscillating between different ideas. This is a poem by a metamodern poet called Steve Rogenberg, who's kind of held up as one of the key poets in this kind of digital metamodern revolution. Although you should say a slightly more American interpretation of the term metamodernism, which tends to use the meta to mean beyond rather than oscillating between. I'll go into that in a bit more detail later. I'm also very interested in connecting music, politics. Oh, apparently you're going to get my Facebook messages while I'm doing this. This could be embarrassing. I'm interested in connecting music, politics, sociology. I've got a little bit of background in criminology. So I like connecting these things together because I think it can help us to maybe understand the different areas in more interesting ways, come up with new ideas. And this is all leading towards, I'm going to start my master's later on this year, so I'd really appreciate any ideas, feedback, things I can go and look into further. So I'm going to start off by looking at uncertainty. I think throughout time we can trace a pretty clear rejection of certainty in our kind of social psychology and our philosophy through the Enlightenment, scientific innovations brought about, distrust in religion, through modernism and a rejection of tradition, further rejection of religion through that innovation, through postmodernism, kind of skepticism, and then to metamodernism, which I see as being largely brought about by the proliferation of the internet and the cultural shifts that have gone along with that. Also, particularly post global economic crash 2008, there's an instability that comes from something which has been so held up as fundamental. Regulators kind of increasingly placing their faith in the rationality of a neoliberal efficient market hypothesis in the kind of couple of decades leading up to the economic crash, and for this then to so catastrophically fall apart leads to a kind of social psychology shift, which I think has been really instrumental in bringing about metamodernism as I think we would understand it today. And during this gradual rejection of certainty, see the little wiggly line on there as well. We also experience kind of cyclical periods of uncertainty, economic slump and boom within my lifetime. I particularly kind of noticed this in the Great Recession following the economic crash in 2008. And during these kind of times, particularly within this cyclical uncertainty, we very often see politicians capitalising on the uncertainty that comes about, capitalising on an ideological landscape of instability. Particularly we see often right-wing ideologies emerging and apparently offering some form of certainty, which can very often perhaps be more kind of appealing or more adhered to following something like an economic crash. Rise of Nazism, and more recently, following the global economic crash, things like UKIP in the UK, Donald Trump just now in the US, Golden Dawn in Greece, National Front in France. We see this kind of right wing capitalising on uncertainty. But if politicians will have us believe that uncertainty is this great risk to be avoided at all costs, then I think maybe there's something more dangerous and more to be avoided, and that is the appearance of certainty amidst all of this, and the appearance of certainty being offered to us and presented to us. It could arguably be seen as dangerous, manufactured, or at the very least constructed for some sort of political gain. the utilisation of the politics of fear, politicians using control tactics for influence. There's a great documentary called The Power of Nightmares, I don't know if anyone's seen that, which came out in 2004, and that compares and contrasts the rise of Al-Qaeda and the rise of the neoconservative movement. And it opens with this great scene saying, you know, politicians used to come to us and offer us hope and offer us things that they could promise that we could vote for, and now more and more they are offering us protection from everything out there that we should be afraid of, whether that's economic instability, whether that's refugees and immigration, whether that's terrorism. More and more we see politicians and the media capitalising on the great uncertainty that is out there to influence the general public. There's also in a semi-factual, semi-fictional film called In the Loop. Everyone's seen that. There's a great line that says, in the land of truth, the man with one fact is king. Certainty is certainly a very marketable thing, but it's not necessarily as grounded in real life and in truth as perhaps uncertainty is, even if that's what the certain kind of political parties might have us believe is something to be avoided. And so if an unravelling like the global economic crash can so rapidly reveal the flaws in our faith in certain systems that are assumed to be rational and assumed to be efficient, then perhaps this demonstrates that actually this entire certainty is misplaced, or at the very least constructed and manufactured. And if we think back to the kind of chronicling of rejection of certainty coming about through scientific discovery, coming about through development in philosophical thought and in cultural theory, then maybe actually uncertainty is something which we should be more and more susceptible to, as something that's just brought about as we learn more and understand more. So this is where experimental music comes into this. I think the main thing that kind of attracted me to experimental music was the excitement of the unknown, the excitement of kind of throwing away the rules or drafting new ones. And I think that there's something in this that we could use to apply to social psychology and to apply to philosophy and take some of the ideas across. Particularly within aleatoricism, music which is playing with the idea of that which is indeterminate and that which is unknown. It's all about embracing uncertainty and using uncertainty for creative progress. Particularly, perhaps most well-known exemplified in 4 minutes 33, I guess a lot of people are aware of, which is, if I just play a tiny little bit of this. This is an orchestra performing 4 minutes 33. Cheers up, ready to start. Audience anticipation. This intro actually goes on for a little bit longer than I realised it's cut halfway through. And so 4 minutes 33, for anyone who hasn't come across it, is 4 minutes 33 seconds of nothing written notation-wise in traditional music. And the audience and the performers are in complete submission to their environment. So anything that is going on acoustically in the landscape that they're in becomes the music itself, and nothing is predetermined and pre-written. And I think, you know, we haven't really had any experimental music since then which has pushed that idea. I don't really know where you push that idea further beyond 4 minutes 33. But it's very much this kind of complete submission of control over the music yourself as a composer and a performer. And Theodor Adorno sociologizes this, takes a political slant on John Cage's work in experimentalism, dividing John Cage's experimentalism into two different modes, the first mode being a final experiment, which is presented to an audience with the idea that you've kind of established something or pushed through some innovation in the music during the experiment itself. The second mode, which is what Formants 33 would fit into, is the audience is actually there during the experiment and they're part of the experiment. And so Adorno takes this second mode of experimentalism and says that beyond music, in any context, paradoxically, the way to retain subjective autonomy is to completely submit to the uncertainty of your environment. And there's a way of thinking in there which could be used, say, after times of economic crash, by undermining the control that fear of uncertainty has when it's used against us. This removes its power and it removes its authority. The controlling self of the author in this context is then completely eradicated. Experimental music also calling into question the accustomed regulation and more traditional ways of thinking about things. There's a whole 20-minute paper of why this is better modern in there, but I'll kind of gloss over it for the sake of time. And also, we'll just zoom into this a little bit. We can work of Jacques Attali and noise is another kind of area within this that could be explored a lot further. The idea of noise as distinguished from music, as something which, in an unregulated form, can offer some sort of escape from kind of acceptance of organized music. Same way, popular today, apparently. And I think these kind of experimental ideas, perhaps more than ever before, could now have the potential to have a much greater impact and be in a stronger position to reach the masses. We see certain elements of experimental traditions assimilated into mainstream music, into popular music. Bill Martin writes a great book called Avant Rock, which draws a lot of comparisons, things like trance and minimalism, things within art rock, krautrock, avant prog, and the way that certain elements of traditionally more experimental and avant-garde music are now being seen in popular music and reaching mainstream audiences in a different way. How long have I got left? Yeah. I won't play that clip then, but anyone who knows Money by Pink Floyd opens with the sound of cash registers. I grew up listening to that, and then when I started learning about musique concrète and Pierre Schaeffer, and there's a very kind of clear link in music like that, changing the way that we think about what music is in itself. So these kind of experimental ideas, both within our social psychology and within the music that we're creating and listening to, can offer kind of new ways of thinking about it. Again, this assimilation with the kind of postmodern bricolage and the kind of push for innovation, we see it oscillating between the postmodern and the modern. Therefore, I'd argue that this is something which is inherently metamodern also. Van Mellis, writing in 2011 about the internet and network culture. The internet, whilst it has played a part in this new age of uncertainty and metamodernism, I think it also offers a way to perhaps reclaim this uncertainty. Van Ellis writes about everything being relational, and just as the global economic crash in 2008 might have seemed like a shock, actually you could see it kind of being traced and building for years preceding that. In the same way, in new technological advancements and new cultural shifts which are brought about by them, they are things which are actually happening gradually in gradual processes, and they only appear radical retrospectively. And Theodore Adorno, looking at this, might also, from this perspective, you could argue that using these kind of experimental ideas, combating standardization within the arts, within popular culture, there's also a potentially political dimension to that, and perhaps offering means of breaking away from the capitalist wheel, so to speak, which is so often reinforced by our cultural consumption. So to wrap things up, I kind of envision all of this as firstly a psychological shift, but with the potential to have practical implications as well. And especially within digitalization and network culture, there's various different ideas going off of how this could come about and how this could connect to wider areas of our society. And so both by analyzing occurrences in economic patterns, we can influence the way that, so it's really dark with a little music near the top. Can analyze the way that we think about music and creativity, and in reverse, we can also take ideas from this music and creativity and perhaps shift some of the way that we think about our politics and our economics, and perhaps have a chance to reclaim this uncertainty which is so often capitalized following periods of economic crash. Cheers.